This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Radio.com Sports presents Big Time Baseball with MLB insider John Heyman and former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr.
All right, it's my pleasure to bring in a big time guest to the Big Time Baseball podcast with Tony Gwynn Jr. It is the general manager of the New York Yankees, Brian Cashman. 23 years, he's been the general manager of the team. They've been a winning team every year. Four World Series titles as general manager. I think he has five rings now. I'm losing count. I could be wrong, though. I think that's right. I think his Hall of Fame place is punched at this point. He's been fantastic. And I remember when he was a general manager in his early 30s, and he still seems like a young man. But it's great to bring in Brian Cashman, general manager of the New York Yankees, who have been rather hot lately. So first I want to get started asking you about that, Cash. It was kind of worrisome about 10 days ago or so. The team was struggling at that point, and you spoke to the team, and the team has been great ever since. You have this knack of doing this. I think you did it in 2005 or so, and same result. Is it your timing, your words? What is it? Why did the team turn around so abruptly after you spoke to them?
Well, no, I think it had more to do with last time I did it was 2009. And, you know, I speak to the team every year at open spring training, regardless. I think every general manager does that typically. And then obviously part of the job description is to have a lot of individual conversations when necessary, tough conversations when necessary. But when it warrants it, you know, I'm the head of baseball operations, and we were, you know, kind of playing unusually poor baseball and for an extended period of time. So I took the opportunity after having a lot of dialogue with Aaron Boone, whether I should or shouldn't. So last time I did it was 2009. We were struggling for an extended period of time, and I flew in to meet the team in Atlanta. And then timing's everything. You know, I picked the right wave to ride, and the team's been doing well, but I don't think it has anything to do with the conversations per se. It's just a reminder in this case of how good are they. I mean, you guys are really good. Baseball's a humbling sport. You know, we've gotten it out of our system now, and it's, I think we had 19 games to go. So the message was essentially 19 to go. Let's put on a show. And, because we're still capable of doing everything that we signed up for, which is representing the American League in the World Series and trying to win a world championship title. And all of those things are still in play. And it was just a reminder of, you know, it wasn't, you know, an airstrike. It was a, you know, a reinforcement of, you know, we've got this and we believe in you. And just remind you, sometimes baseball can throw you off. And let's get our balance back and let's start rolling. And we got 19 to go. So that was the message. Let's put on the show.
Brian, you mentioned that it's in the job description, but you also mentioned you've only done it a few times where you've addressed a team this late. When do you know when it's the right time to step in there and maybe remind players of some of the things you had to remind them to this time around?
You know, it's more of a feel thing. It's I think part of the job. Listen, it's a player's game, you know, and I've been the GM now for a long time under three different managers, and I addressed a team in each category, in each case. So under Joe Torre, I had to do it. Under Joe Girardi, I did it. And now, obviously, under Aaron Boone, I did it. And it's just more of a feel thing. And sometimes it's a therapeutic thing. It's at least to make me feel like I'm doing everything I need to do and should be doing and can be doing at the same time. So at least I can put my head on the pillow without any woulda, coulda, shouldas after the fact. Of regret of maybe I should have and I didn't. And so it's like checking every box on the menu. And, but you know, it's gotta be authentic. It's gotta be real. And it's gotta be something that you believe can resonate with the group. And it's as simple as that. So, you know, but it's not something that comes naturally or easily. It's something that, you know, you're kind of, you know, feel like in the end, all right, it's time for me to have a conversation. Now, as general manager, I think representing my entire 30 GM group, I think we're used to having to be the bad guy or have the tougher conversations, you know, when necessary. Not that any of the managers don't do that, but so I've definitely been called upon to have some really direct, difficult, honest, brutally honest conversations. And that's part of the job description too. So, you know, those are more impactful, I think, than maybe a group setting. But again, we have a really good team and we got really good people. And but this game is not an easy sport to play and be consistently at a high level at all times. And so just like anything else, you know, you can get one good play can change the day. But it also works the other way. One bad play can change the day. And it's just, you got to make sure that, you know, you're as laser focused at all times individually as a player, a coach, a manager, or a front office, and recognize that there's a slippery slope that can run a positive or a negative. And we just needed to stop the bleeding at that point. Thankfully, we were able to do that and get our balance back.
I'm glad you reminded me. It was 2009. That was good timing. Obviously, worked out very nicely there as you won the World Series in 2009. And we're speaking to you now on the day after you've clinched again the playoffs. And the Yankees have seemed to make the playoffs every year. And I know with eight teams in the playoffs in each league this year, everybody figured it was a foregone conclusion. But congratulations in any case. And as we head toward the playoffs now, we're a week away as we record this. But as you look back on this season, what were some of the pleasant surprises? I mean, obviously, Voit's been fantastic. But in your mind, what are the surprises? Are there any disappointments? And how do you feel your setup for the postseason? As we speak today, you're playing the Twins, and they never seem to beat in the playoffs. I don't know if you feel the same way that I do, that the Twins somehow just can't beat you guys in the playoffs. But how do you feel your setup right now, and how do you feel things went this year?
Well, I mean, it's been a roller coaster. I mean, it's a 60-game sprint. We've I feel like we've been drinking out of a fire hose. Probably every single team feels that way. Where, you know, we've had a lot thrown at us. You know, it's obviously as difficult a sport to master as you can be, and then to try to do it in a sprint and navigate what always comes your way, which is injuries, underperformance, surprise performance, you know, and then mix in that, hey, we're in a pandemic at the same time. You know, it's been a roller coaster, and yeah, our intentions are to make the playoffs and then obviously take a shot at going the whole way in October. So yeah, Luke Voit's been fantastic. You know, we've had a lot of guys have been fantastic. And, you know, I wouldn't say they're surprises, but, you know, DJ LeMahieu being DJ LeMahieu and continuing what he did last year, and Voit, you know, returning to form. He was pretty awesome last year until he had that core injury during the London series out against the Red Sox in Europe. And then he was never the same after that until he had it fixed surgically this winter. And now he's back to, you know, picking up where he left off. Yeah, the addition of Gerrit Cole has been a real boost, and he's starting to find his stride clearly. We feel really good every time he has the ball. And, you know, So we've had a number of different things. The disappointments would be the continuation of injuries that have reoccurred from time to time. But thankfully, in most cases, you know, whether it's a Stanton or a Judge, we're getting those guys back, and Bruschella getting them back, and LeMay was down for a little while, got him back. But other cases like a Severino and a Paxton that were all part of be a part of this thing. You know, Sevy's out, and Paxton, you know, it's to be determined when he would come back. It wouldn't be during the playoffs down the stretch. So if he does, so those would be the disappointments I think that stand out. And then obviously not being able to play in front of fans. I mean, hearing Gardy's commentary recently of how he wants to continue playing. He doesn't want his career to end on a year where he can't play in front of his family in person and fans. You know, that obviously touched me a little bit in recognizing the fact that, hey, this year is completely different and it's even more impactful for some of those in that arena than others. You know, it's, you know, so that's another disappointment that, you know, we're able to represent our fan base, but not in person. And that's obviously disappointing.
Ryan, you mentioned the injuries. 2 years in a row, you guys have been crushed by injuries, yet have found your way into the playoffs. Talk a little bit about finding the right fits for depth, because it's unique in New York. Not everybody's built to play under the bright lights in New York, yet you guys have found the type of depth that when you get injuries, you have guys that can fill in. Talk a little bit about what goes into finding the right fits for this organization.
Well, it goes, whether it's our development program headed by Kevin Reese, when he inherits players from our domestic amateur department run by Damon Oppenheimer, or international scouting department run by Donnie Rowland, and then our pro scouting department run by Matt Daly and Dan Geis. You know, at our analytics side by David Grabner and Mike Fishman, all these guys are guiding and suggesting and leading us to talent, whether it's an acquisition like Luke Voigt, an international sign like Miguel Andujar, on the pro scouting side, a trade acquisition that brought us Clint Frazier, a trade acquisition that brought us Mike Tauchman. So when these injuries do hit, you know, it's plug and play, you know, because we're deep in this current time frame, and it's hard to always remain deep. So right now we're in a good position to weather the storm, but it's always tough on behalf of all 30 organizations to maintain that. So in this current window, in this current climate that we do exist, you know, the stars have lined up that we're a deep organization with players that we are top heavy with players that we can turn to when injuries hit. So even in the rotation, obviously we lost Severino, we've lost Paxton and Debbie Garcia, who's in great demand during the trade deadline. We decided we're not moving Debbie in the opportunities that were presented. And he stepped right in and probably pitched as well, despite yesterday, as well as anybody we would have acquired at the deadline. And so all of those things have factored into to play a really good, strong, healthy defense for us in terms of protection and insurance and allowing us to maintain a shot at taking another run at the title, one that's eluded us since 2009.
The playoff gauntlet's not going to be easy this year with that extra round. As you know, your team is playing great, so that's a big plus. You know, obviously Cole, one of the best pitchers in baseball, you've got there. Tanaka's been fantastic in the postseason. Devi, as you've mentioned, has really come through for you. Hap's been good lately. But I'd rather have you talk about how your rotation and your team, you think, sets up for the playoff run. I mean, I know a lot of people are saying that the Dodgers and the Yankees are the favorites. How do you look at it? And how do you feel about it? Particularly, you kind of need the depth this year with no off days. And it looks like, despite those injuries that you talked about, including Severino, which is a rough one, obviously, it looks like your depth is pretty good right now.
Well, I mean, I certainly feel good about our team. I don't think anybody in this current format can determine who's a favorite or not. To be quite honest, this could be the toughest world championship run of any of them in the past, just because of the playoff format, the additional teams, the lack of off days. There's no home field advantage, so to speak. And even for the first round and the best of three, which anybody can win that, for those who happen to be playing at home, which is yet to be determined in almost all cases, you're not even staying in your own bed. You're quarantined in a bubble somewhere. In our case, it'll be in Midtown Manhattan. You know, And so, and you'll be playing not in front of fans that are supporting you. So it's a unique environment. And I think it's just, you'll have the regular season that proved a certain, category. And now the postseason, I feel like it's kind of like a thoroughbred racing, where you have the Preakness and the Derby and the Belmont, and the races are all different. We had a 60-game regular season that determined, obviously who the better teams happened to be. And now you enter a sprint, which is the best of three. And you have a number of off days as teams locate out to California for the American League and Texas for the National League. And then you have, a cage match that basically with no off days will determine ultimately who's going to play in the World Series. It's going to challenge your depth. It's going to be different. You won't be seeing in many instances, the bullpen days that maybe people would have planned on utilizing or be forced to utilize, because every day you're going to need a starter because you're not going to have the recovery days for the relievers unless you're willing to, put people at risk. And so it's really going to take that 28-man roster, maybe the taxi squad that's traveling with you. It's going to take everything you got to be the last team standing. So it's going to be an interesting challenge and a unique challenge, and we're looking forward to being a part of that challenge.
Brian, how have you felt about the rules and how they've been implemented in this 2020 season? I know obviously we're just happy to have the game back, but would you want to see any of this moving forward beyond 2020 season, including the playoff structure?
Yes, actually, I am. I'm a progressive. I am a I lived through losing Chin-Ming Wong to a Lisfranc fracture in Houston when he was forced to be a hitter when we were playing with the Astros while they were in the National League at the time and under the National League rules. And that radically changed his career path. He was one of the exceptional starting pitchers and young starting pitchers in the American League. And then he was never really the same after that injury. So I do believe that the National League going forward, adopting the DH is the right thing, the safe thing, the healthy thing. As they're the last team, last league doing it. And that's all due respect to the National League and the history and tradition of that rule. So I'm a big believer for the healthy part of this for pitchers, that they need to be doing something consistently or not doing it all. And so adopt the DH, I'm all for. I love the extra inning rule that obviously got displayed in the WBC. I think that forcing the action into, forcing an outcome sooner than later, rather than having this thing drag out when, for the most part, most fans, 99% of the fans have left the ballpark. And in many cases, if they're night games, have fallen asleep trying to watch who's going to win a game. I think forcing this outcome keeps people glued to their seats, glued to their eyeballs, glued to the streaming or the television sets. It creates exciting baseball and an exciting finish at the back end. I like that. I'm trying to think what are the other rules that we've now adopted that are different, if you can remind me. Yeah, I'm still getting used to that one. I really do miss the left-handed reliever matchup, the situation that you can utilize. I mean, there's always been that extremely important out, and you have somebody you can deploy for that. So I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I understand it, but I do think it erases or takes out, a population, even if it's a small population of talent that found a important role in this game. So I'm not as much of a fan of the three batter minimum as some of these other rules that we've adopted.
Yeah, I'm with you on the extra inning rule. I like it. I forcing the action, that's a good way to put it. I really like that rule a lot. One thing that obviously is different this year is the 16 teams in the playoffs and the best of three to start. I know you don't want to talk about who's the favorite or even think about it. Dave Roberts, who guides what I think is the favorite in the National League, doesn't like the best of three in the first round, understandably so. I know a lot of people don't like the 16 teams with the expanded playoffs. What do you think about the best of three? Does that worry you? And do you think whoever wins this year gets an asterisk, or is this a true champion, the World Series winner this season?
No, it's not going to be an asterisk. Obviously, the season everybody will recognize was a season played under a pandemic, under really difficult circumstances and a lot of duress, and so whoever winds up having the opportunity to be earning the right to be called world champion, that'll be cemented in history and something to be very proud of. But you know, I would probably agree with Dave Roberts that, you know, it just depends on how you want things to play out. If you want more randomness, you know, that's what a 3-game series is going to provide. You know, and so therefore, you know, the best team could get sent, the team that's favored obviously could get sent home right out of the gates because they just don't play well out of a 3-game set, you know, because it's just like a 60-game season can produce some random haphazard stuff, unlike a 162-game season when things play out in a much longer pace. You know, I think the shorter series certainly can produce some unusual results or unexpected results because it gives, maybe a lesser opponent a more bigger opportunity to create an upset. So that's how our sport, it's not a complaint, it's just a fact. And so it's going to create, you know, I think hope for a lot more teams that, you know, so the 8th seed has a chance to beat the 1 seed without a question. It equalizes things a lot more than people realize in terms. So it's not necessarily a roster strength versus roster strength. And you see who's better and it's going to play out that way. It's going to actually be who plays better for that small 3-game set, even if it's the inferior team. And in baseball, that easily can happen. And so it's a dangerous process, but everybody knows what the process is. So, you know, it is what it is. And so it's game on and it's may the best team win at that point. And if there is an upset and you know, David beats Goliath, you know, that's it. So be it.
Brian, you know, you've seen the game change a lot from the time you've taken over as GM as the Yankees. You've seen the analytic phase really start to take over the game of baseball. And I felt like from the outside looking in that you guys have done a terrific job in that transition, better than most teams. Why do you think that is? You see, you guys have seemingly adapted better than a lot of teams and a lot quicker than a lot of teams.
Well, I think we've been slow in terms of we've adapted without a doubt. We've grown, we've evolved, but we've also been delicate and tactical in how we've adapted. So I think sometimes I've seen other organizations do, you know, a extreme makeover. And then that's a shock to the system. And I think we've done a little bit of a slow walk. And sometimes I've wrestled with in my mind about from the leadership position I sit in is, am I walking it too slow? And, you know, you just have to make, yeah, there's a feel to this stuff. There's also an educational component to how it gets implemented, and how you get the conversions and what's the best way to educate the masses, whether you're talking about the player population pool, the field staff population pool, myself included. You know, I remember, you know, back in the day where there was bookstores all over the place, you'd see, Algebra for Dummies or, you know, all those books that came out like Guitar for Dummies. And, you know, it was a yellow book. They'd have these dummy down books that teach something that was complicated to people in a more simplified manner. So it was the really keys to the success is how you take this powerful amount of information that this gold that you can mine from these mountains that can be utilized to your advantage, but how do you then present it in a way that it's, you have that ta-da moment that's so powerful for your, whether it's a starting pitcher or a reliever or a catcher who's calling a game or a coach enough to implement it in there as a teaching tool or me as a long time front office executive to start to utilize that as an arrow in your quiver, in your trade decisions or your free agent decisions to either go all in on a player, or walk away from a player because there's some data points now that you've been educated about and you have to at some point have that ta-da moment where you're like, yeah, this makes sense. I get it. I believe it. The light bulb's gone on in my head and now I've got a whole new world of educational component that's now moving me in a certain direction and for good reason and sound reason. And that the platforms of the educational component is just as important as the information that's sitting there. It's just how do you create a higher tide for everybody to ride on by sharing the information in a way they can understand it. So therefore they want it and they gravitate to it and they utilize it.
Well, Brian, you've certainly done a great job of not shocking the system and running a steady ship and it's been quite a tenure, starting obviously working with George Steinbrenner, was very successful. Different kind of a personality than you, but we got to give him his due. He was extremely successful, and you've done great work during the season and, of course, after the season. The most important work for a general manager, I think, is done in the winter time. So I just wanted to ask you, you've got some decisions coming up on some really important Yankees, I think. Our first guest on the Big Time podcast was Aaron Boone. Now, you have an option on him, so I don't want to assume anything, but I would say it probably looks good for Aaron Boone to be back with the Yankees. But you also have LeMahieu and Tanaka and Gardner, potentially a free agent. Gardner, I say potentially because there's an option, but I'm going to assume that you want to bring back LeMahieu. That was one of the greatest free agent signings probably in history, 2 years, $24 million. Tanaka's been all you could have asked for, I think, and Gardner's been a fantastic Yankee. So if you could just talk a little bit about those four gentlemen that I mentioned.
Well, first and foremost, I agree with you about George Steinbrenner. He is a Hall of Famer that has yet to be put in the Hall of Fame, but he will get there one day and where he just belongs to be. And then I've been lucky enough to work for him. And so he, you know, obviously had a great impact on me. So past that, you know, the Yankees are the Yankees. We're about trying to have great players and great people. So we're lucky about Aaron Boone. When I went through and opened up an interview process, I was very fortunate to be open-minded to interviewing him. I had a lot of people suggest him, and so I went through the process, and it was like, wow, can this be real? And he's, I think, since we've hired him, have proven that it is real. And you know, obviously, yeah, we have a club option for him, but certainly hope that we can have him for a long time. I had a chance to work for Torrey for 10 years, Girardi for 10 years, and I'd love to be in a position that Aaron Boone can be here for the similar type of time frame. I'd say he has a more likely chance to last more than me, because 10 years is a lot longer for me, I guess, but because of my getting long in tooth. But anyway, going to the free agents, you know, it's all going to happen this winter. We'll certainly have a lot of discussions with ownership about, you know, what's available financially and how the impact on the economics of what has transpired in this world because of the pandemic affects everything. But all those players you've mentioned are really amazing, talented players that anybody would want to retain on their club, including ourselves. Just the ability to do so, it all remains to be seen. Once we clear this, you know, postseason situation, hopefully we can do it with a world championship. But if we don't, you know, obviously either way, we'll have to make decisions, tough ones, like we always are forced to do every winter. Like everybody has to make tough decisions, and you know, we'll do the best we possibly can. But those decisions, we haven't had any dialogue about what is or isn't available to us as of yet. But you know, we're still trying to navigate this 2020 season.
You know, Brian, I wanted to ask you, I saw a report that the Mets would be interested or are interested. Obviously, they're going to have a change of ownership here very soon once Steve Cohen is approved, as we expect him to be. So I know you're very modest as you in your last answer, you said that you worked for the manager. Technically, I think the manager works for you, but that's nice the way you put that. So what did you think when you saw that? I know you've had chances in the past, many chances to leave the Yankees, and you know, I don't think it's just a New York thing. So I don't see the Mets as any more likely than any of the other teams. It seems like you're very loyal to me, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. Did you see that report that suggested you could jump over to the Mets? And, you know, what did you think about that?
I mean, it's just a compliment. You know, Carl Ravitch obviously was on the podcast for ESPN and mentioned the first thing he would do. So, it was a really you know, nice compliment. I would say that I've seen, there's a lot of reports now. I think another one in the New York Post was another general manager that's going to the Hall of Fame in the National League coming over there. And then, yeah, and Theo Epstein, obviously. And then the latest report is that Sandy Alderson, who had been over there and obviously has had an amazing career and a huge impact on the game and a world champion in his own right, and obviously a veteran that we all got to be thankful for his service to this country, maybe potentially returning to the Mets. So there's, I think, like, typically, especially wintertime, you know, there's always speculation about player trades, player acquisitions, free agent signs, changes in managers, coaches, general managers, and in this case, it's an ownership change that has yet to be approved yet, but I would think more likely than not gets approved, but that's above my pay grade. I think it's just more of the speculation time, and that's part of, you know, the excitement of our industry, you know, but it was just a compliment. That's all I took it from, and people just speculating on, hey, what about this? What about that? But it's nothing more than that. And yeah, I'd appreciate the plug by Carl Ravitch more than anything else, but that's really it.
Okay. Very nice. And I would be remiss if I didn't just follow up a little bit, because I'd mentioned LeMahieu before, and I think the fans would want to hear what your thoughts are on him in particular. That was a fantastic signing, and you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm going to assume that you'd like to bring him back, and you're going to try to bring him back.
Yeah, I tried to answer it because I used the free agent. So whether it's a Tanaka, whether it's a LeMahieu, these are all fantastic players and people that, you know, anybody that has the opportunity to work with them would want to retain. You know, but obviously those decisions are going to have to come later time, and those discussions and what's available and what's not obviously is yet to be determined with us. And we haven't really had any engagement with anybody involved in the potential free agent process. And that includes our manager, although we have a club option on him. And so we'll, you know, all that'll be a different day as we're all locked in on trying to figure out a way to successfully finish our 2020 campaign and survive the pandemic and survive, you know, the American League in the postseason, and then ultimately hopefully be the team that represents our league in the World Series and somehow survive that as well. But we've got a long way to go. And a short time to get there, I guess. And so, but once that's all done, you know, everybody else disbands, you know, managers, coaches, and players all go home, and the front offices, those lights don't go out. You know, we got to immediately turn to, you know, the most important part of our 2021 season, which is the winter campaign. And that starts immediately after the conclusion of your 2020 season. And so, you know, that's going to happen here sooner than later. But I don't have any answers other than the fact that we are very fortunate to have DJ LeMahieu, as well as Tanaka, amongst a lot of these other free agents that are pending here. So, and they've served us well, and what the future is going to be like, we'll see.
Yeah, I can vouch for that, the way the Yankees and you operate. And I don't know whether that came from Steinbrenner or whether that's just you and your work ethic, but you basically give it less than a minute of celebration, even when you win the World Series, before you get to work on the winter. And the winter is, of course, where you do the most important work and your best work. So it's been a pleasure having you on. We kept you a little bit over time, and I know you're a busy man. We really appreciate it. Brian Cashman coming on Big Time Baseball. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having me. Be safe, everybody.
Right.
Be well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.